to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr and my gosh, we have so much to talk about today. I'm very excited. First of all, I want to tell you about my website, which is theawareshow.com. All sorts of great stuff on there, shows that I've done here on KPFK, on Hay House Radio, on Gaia TV, Coast to Coast AM, all sorts of great things. So we have check out everything there. It's theawareshow.com. You can also hear past and present shows there on the website. Also, I want to mention that coming up this weekend, Sue Mortar is going to be speaking, and she's at Mystic Journeys. It's tonight. Sorry, it's tonight. She's an amazing energy healer. It's at 6:30 at Mystic Journeys Bookstore in Venice, and she's one of the icons in terms of energy medicine, energy healing, and understanding how really to use it, re-energize your body through the power of grounding and breath. And man, she's amazing. She's an amazing woman. So check her out tonight, Mystic Journeys Bookstore. Sue Mortar, Dr. Sue Mortar. All right. So did you know that your home is basically like living in a vision board? Your home is a reflection on the life that you want to be living. So, do you have clutter? Do you have things showing up that you stuff away in drawers? Are you stuffing and hiding your emotions? Do you have things that are old in your life that you don't want to let go of, like old memories might be happening and holding on to? It's really incredible. My guest today, who's a clutter intervention specialist, Tisha Morris, she's like a stuff whisperer. She can really totally look at your house and your, you know, if it's your space, your office, your apartment, whatever it is, and show you what's going on in your life. And the best thing about it is help you clear it. Gosh, isn't that great? I think it's so cool what you do. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. What were you doing before this? No one just rolls out of college and says, I'm going to be a clutter interventionist.
I wish I could have taken that direct path, but instead I went to law school, like a lot of people do when they don't know what they want to be when they grow up.
That makes sense.
Yes. So I took a little circuitous path through the field of law, foreclosed some homes, filed some bankruptcies for some people, and meanwhile I was getting an interior design degree. And for part of the day I would be a foreclosure attorney. The second part of the day would be designing homes. And then I purchased a home that needed a complete renovation. As I was doing that, I was having my own renovation within myself and began to see just how interrelated our energy is with our home. And that took me into feng shui.
When you were practicing as an attorney, did you ever when you were helping people with bankruptcy situations, which is never a pleasant thing to do. People are usually in a rough spot when you get to that place in life. But were you ever able to help anyone in that situation?
Well, that's a great question. I was actually representing the mortgage companies during the foreclosure crisis. And so I was kind of on the bad guy side of it. Mm-hmm. And yet, I was very aware of my role during that time. And it was a little bit contradictory to my belief systems, perhaps. And yet the way I was justified serving was to be as gentle and compassionate when I was dealing with the people that I was kind of going against, so to speak. And I actually, my law practice kind of ended because I actually gave them too good of interest rates than they should have had. So
how did it get you?
My boss was not that impressed with my negotiation skills.
I would have been. Well, so you transitioned into interior design. Had that always been an interest for you?
You know, I it was not until it was. I began having these dreams at night of these spaces that were unbelievable, unlike anything I'd ever seen in magazines. And I found myself at a kind of a low point of, you know, what I'm going to do with my life. And I was at this bar one night, and this kid was turning 21, and he was just kind of in this, you know, dreaming state. And he's like, I was complaining about, you know, what I was doing and, you know, practicing law. He's like, well, what do you dream about at night? And it's like, designing spaces. He's like, well, then that's what you need to do. And so I came back, I was on a vacation, and I came back and started researching interior design schools and applied the next week.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I like that there's, you know, there's clutter specialists and organizers and so forth, but you have a different perspective on this. It's how your stuff is showing up. So that it, and how it's a reflection on you. I've had people come in and help me organize before because I do get really busy and I do love that aspect of having somebody help me focus, but the clutter comes back. And there's a reason for that.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything in our home is an extension of ourself, our mind, our physically, mentally, emotionally. And, you know, it's, I liken it to weight loss. We all know how to lose weight. We eat better. We exercise more. But why do we not do these things? It's the same with decluttering. We can do all the – we can – you know, we know how to put things in a bag. We know how to take it to Goodwill or whatever your disposal options are. And yet the weight or the clutter, however you want to think of it, comes back. And so this book really takes you into a deep dive of why you hang on to certain things that keep coming back. Mm-hmm. And I found with clients, and I've done a lot of workshops with clutter inventions with people in workshops, and as soon as they realize the why, and it's never what they think it is, it's never what you think it is, it was immediately like an aha moment. And so it just takes awareness around it. And so a lot of the book is kind of taking through these questions and being your own detective of like the why. Who does this item remind me of? What time of my life did I purchase it or was it given to me? What was going on in my life? It could even be a sweater that you still have from 10 years ago and you don't know why you keep hanging on to it.
And it's also, well, we'll talk about this, is your parents or other relatives bringing stuff into your house so that you can keep it for them instead of them.
Yes.
And that's where most of my clutter has come from.
Yes. And it can be relatives. It can be – I once purchased a home from a friend. That's never a good idea because she ended up leaving a lot of stuff in the house. And so anytime – it's a boundary. It's a boundary crossing. And so, you know, with relatives, boundary issues are like – the hardest,
yeah.
You know, because they're so intertwined or, intermeshed with it. But when you're holding on stuff for other people, that's just allowing your boundary to be crossed.
Mm.
Think of your home as your own skin. It's just a second layer.
My mother just gave me recently this beautiful hat from my grandmother. And I was going to a Great Gatsby themed type of party. And she said, oh, here, have this. And then she brought like the hat and then other jewelry and stuff. It was just like fun stuff. But it was all from the 40s and it was all from my grandmother. And there's no way I'm throwing that away. I mean, there's no way. But now it has a space in my closet that I'm really never going to use again.
Yeah, I see this a lot, and they a lot of times end up being my clients. I call it the family dumping ground. There's always one person in the family that everyone gives stuff to because they another. It's also indicative of that's the person who takes on the energy of the family.
Because I'm the sucker that takes it on.
Yes.
Busted. Pretty much. Well, all right, let's go. Let's start with the concept around marketing and stuff that we're constantly being marketed to. And there is a message everywhere we look 200 times a day that says you are not enough without this. And it's subconscious and it's driven and it's got a lot of money behind it. And so you must buy this because you're hypnotically entranced into buying this. And it's discounted and so forth. And then you wear it once. There's also disposable clothing now that is so inexpensive you can't not buy that $10 dress, and then you only wear it once, and then it shreds. I mean, there's a lot of, what do you do about the external marketing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point. It's become a perfect storm of, and this is why clutter has become an epidemic of, since the 50s, when consumer items have been more and more mass produced at lower prices. And so you're exactly right. We accumulate, and that's just in nature. Is accumulation, but there's a letting go, just like of a snake shedding its skin. That's how inflow and outflow. And we have not really learned the outflow very well yet.
Why?
You know, that's a good – it's because we don't want to grieve. We don't want to say goodbye. We don't want the day to end.
Lost.
We don't want to release. It's a letting go that because I think you're exactly right from the marketing standpoint that we've been fed. It's accumulate. It's like a Band-Aid, as opposed to the letting go. But the thing is when we do let go, it feels so good. I mean, you could talk to anyone after they purge something or have a big purge, feel amazing. And it just lets space in.
It's so interesting. There's this new website called Diplo with the kids are trading clothes online. And it's mostly, $5, $7, $10 items. And the kids will post on, there's some shorts that don't fit me anymore. Who wants these? And then they'll have, something else sent to them that they choose. And you put stuff up on your story. And kids are now getting into trading, which is fantastic.
Yes.
My daughter's, 15 and her friends are doing it and they're making $200-$300 a month. Doing this, which is really cool.
Yes, it's becoming more. I mean, the younger generation is going to save us from our stuff.
Thank goodness. Just recycle it.
Yes,
pass
absolutely.
It along.
And also the younger generation experiences are becoming more the commodity, and experiences that can be shared on technology. And so we're the younger generations are moving out of this more of this 3D world where stuff isn't as important to us as the older generations.
If you really think about the social impact of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's coming in container after container after container through our ports. Where does it all go?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it all go? Into our landmines, into our oceans? Is it really going into other countries where it's needed more? Nope.
I know. That's the kind of thing that kept me awake when I was in fifth grade.
Me too. It bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this all the time. Where is the where's the capacity for all of this to go? It's coming in on these trucks, big trucks. They go all the freeways and they're everywhere. Where's it going?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
Yes. Well, I have a lot of one of the common clutter excuses that I wrote about in the book that you hear a lot is that I don't want to add to the landfill. But I call you out. I call the reader out on that because it's usually just an excuse for hanging on to something. And what I say to people who use that excuse is, don't make your closet or your home a landfill. What's the difference in it being in your closet versus in a landfill where they can actually, minimize the size of it? And so you don't want your home to be a landfill either. So the more you declutter, it actually reduces future consumption. And so from an environmental standpoint, decluttering will pay off in the long run. Once you start really releasing things more appropriately, you will think twice when you make new purchases.
You got to become conscious of it, though, is what I noticed because of the unconscious marketing that's going on out there. I put a bag moratorium on my front door. So I made a conscious effort of how many bags am I bringing into the house? It used to be plastic bags. Now it's recycled bags. Like, are you bringing in groceries every day? Are you bringing in clothes every day? What are you bringing in? And I put a little note to myself on the door and I'm like, we're going to have a bag moratorium for a week and we're going to be really conscious. I don't want to bring anything in a bag into this house so that I can get conscious as to what unconsciously slips into a bag that walks through my front door. And it took me a minute to say, oh my goodness, it's embarrassing. Well, then there's the garage and I'll get shoved into the garage if it doesn't come to the front door. So then my garage started getting, wait a minute. Okay. So there's a couple of things I want to mention to our listeners today. We have a fun drive that's happening here at KPFK and My guest Tisha Morris, has been so kind to offer her program, which is digital, which means it's nobody's going to have any stuff and there's not going to be anything consumed to ship it to you. It's a DIY Feng Shui Your Life course. Do it yourself, Feng Shui Your Life course. Tell us a little bit about this. And if you call the station now, you could call it 818-985-KPFK and donate to the station $175. And the volunteer in the phone room will get your information and we'll get you the e-course for this. But what is the DIY Feng Shui Your Life course about?
Well, my mission with doing this work at all is to spread this information in as many ways as possible. You know, not everyone needs or can afford someone to come to their home to feng shui their home. So a lot of my work is teaching people how to do this stuff themselves. And so I developed this DIY course so people can feng shui their own home. And there's value, obviously, in having an objective third party come. But there's so much of this that you can do yourself. And so that's why I developed this course. And it gives you I make it so simple, because feng shui can be very, very complicated.
Yeah.
I make it very practical, there's four modules in it. And by the end, you're going to have a really good idea of what's going on in your house and how to clear some blocks.
So give us an example of what you would use. There's a webinar there about using your home as a manifesting tool. There's attracting and maintaining relationships using feng shui. There's feng shui for the workspace. What are the modules?
Yes. So I also included some webinars there.
Thank you.
And so I included
You're
one
so cool.
On love and money. I mean, come on. That's what we all want, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, some really – I make things so practical. From my attorney background, I'm very practical minded as well.
I like that.
So some really good tips on attracting, but also maintaining good relationship and feng shui. Anything you do in feng shui is actually for manifesting, but also to maintain good things that are happening in your life as well. But also the workplace. There's some very basic principles in feng shui that immediately can shift your work. It's pretty amazing the stuff that I see happen with clients. And,
so cool. Yeah. That is so great. Yeah. And it just has to do with the energy and the flow of the universe?
Yes, but your own energy. You know, everything starts with you. Mm-hmm. And think about when you have a new perspective or new outlook on life or anything new. It starts from you and then it trickles out into your world. So, for example, feng shui in the workplace, your desk position, putting your desk in what's considered the power position, you are just going to feel better. And by feeling better, you're going to be more productive, more attractive, even if no one ever sees your office. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
I have a home office and I spend 7-8 hours a day in there. And I sometimes don't get up for that many hours because I'm on back-to-back calls and shows and so forth. And it's like my main place in my house needs help. All right. So I want to mention to our listeners, give us a call, 818-985-KPFK, and ask for the Do-It-Yourself Feng Shui Pack, which Tisha Morris has put together so many great webinars and more than just the course. There's webinars and specific things, money, love, workplace, all sorts of things. And it'll help you go through your house and help with your own person and go through the process that you need to not have somebody come in, but to do it yourself. So in your book, and by the way, the book is called Clutter Intervention, How Your Stuff is Keeping You Stuck. We talked a little bit about how your home is a mirror and the identity crisis of letting go of your stuff. What about photos and things like that that have to do with these relationships in your life?
So, I have a section on relationships. And with clutter, so much of my work around clutter has been around – it's become about manifesting. And to manifest, you have to clear out any blocks. And they can be these subconscious blocks or blind spots, shadows, whatever you want to call them. And so when you start to notice if in areas that you're trying to manifest, whether it's a relationship, you need to look in that area to see what from the past you might still be hanging on to. So for relationships, it would be – things from a past relationship that you haven't let go of. And so that's evidence that there is some aspect of that past relationship that you are still identifying with. And it may not even be that person. You may have really gotten past that person, but it was an identity from around when you were with that person. For example, the lifestyle you had while with that person or the group of friends that that person provided in your life, some identity still stuck. And so that could be, most likely, what's preventing you from attracting a new relationship. I've even had people in a new relationship, but they're not fully in it because they hadn't let go of the previous one. Mm-hmm. So that's how this relates to relationships. And our stuff is just is just evidence of what's going on mentally and emotionally with us.
Hmm. And give me an example of what that means. Like, is it things that we keep on our counters, or is it?
Well, the more it's hidden, the more it's in the shadow, literally. Oh. And even in the closet, even in the darkest parts of the closet, is where we literally hide the things that we don't want to deal with. It's really amazing.
Huh. I know. I was going through for Mother's Day, my daughter helped me clear my closet.
Aw.
Such a great gift. And she went through all my shoes and boots and stuff with me. Winds up I have more black boots than I have feet. And there, a lot of them were cracked. Like the leather was cracked and there was holes in the side. I wasn't looking at that. I was just looking at the boot. And this is in single shoes. My producer just texted. I mean, you have one shoe. You really have one shoe. One shoe. That's funny. It's true. I mean, we do. Because you really were hoping you were going to find the other one?
I think that's, you know what that tells me? You're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh. You are a stuff whisperer. This is also, here's the other chapter in here, too much of a good thing, overcompensating for identity, which means.
So there's stuff, you know, so far we've talked about stuff from the past, but there's also stuff that we use in our present day that just accumulates too much of. And we all have an Achilles heel of what that is. It might be clothing. It might be papers like mail and some people's books and magazines.
Little tiny, like change purses. Nothing fits in them anymore. I don't know why. They're like 4 by 5 inches. And I found probably 12 of them.
Wow, change purses. So, yeah, it's time to up level to money purses.
I'm like, why do I have all these little things? I collected them.
Yeah. Well, did they come from travels?
No. I don't know where they've come from. They multiply in themselves in the closet. I don't know where they've come from. They're not from travels. Hmm. A couple of them are from travels, but I go and collect these little tiny. Hmm. I mean, 4 inch by 5 inches.
Well, collections are another little area that are really peculiar. Collections are also an overcompensation of something unmanifest. So something about change purses or money change or something. So
that I need to change.
Yeah. It's really wild. Sometimes even collections actually relate back to past life desires that are not been fulfilled
right.
in some way.
What about money from other countries? Does anybody have that in their drawers? Yeah. Money that's completely no
yes.
value here whatsoever.
Yeah. It's our identity around the desire to travel and just reminder of like, I went to Italy or I went to, you know, and holding on to the desire for travel. And, you know, that's actually can be a really good manifestation technique. That's an example. We, you know, started out with saying our home is a vision board. And if you want to do more travel, then yeah, have a little bowl of international coins.
That's a great idea. And, or maybe just put it in a frame and there and
yes.
all the different types of currencies. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun.
The more you bring it into the light and acknowledge mm-hmm. like, yeah, you know what? I do want to travel more mm-hmm. as opposed to being stuffed in a drawer and like, oh, I can't travel.
My brother and I recently did this with my father, who's just, let's say it's 80th birthday this weekend. I'm very happy birthday, Dad. My brother went in and cleared out his man cave, which is his office. And it was stacked with all of these things that meant so much to my dad. I mean, all the great books. I mean, he was an orthopedic surgeon for years, 40 years. So he had great medical books and articles that he never got a chance to read and all the stuff that was in there. I found it was the same thing that interested me. You know, there's joke books and he's got this music stuff and he's got all these great pieces of his personality in there. There were so many great things. my brother, we, you know, had to make a path for him to be safe to walk in. And so we cleared a lot of stuff out of there, a lot of stuff. And my dad went out into the driveway where it had been cleared, and he really only brought back in maybe 10% of it. And it was jarring at the time, but in the long run, maybe that's all we really need is 10% of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now that's accumulated over probably 20 years from my dad. And there was a lot of stuff in there, maybe 20, 30 years. And so to really, have you found this with people that we really only need 10% of the stuff that we hold on to?
I think that's a great example and or something to attain to, because, and this is what I encourage why I encourage people to declutter, because is you're really shining a light on the things that are really important to you. And the things that we really love or really want to use get watered down by all the crap. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to just really appreciate and love and use the 10%, how much more rich our life would be. You can see this mirrored in all aspects of your life, whether it's people in your life or events you go to. If we could just like focus your energy on the things you really do enjoy, how much richer life would be.
Mm. Now, how do you carve out the time to do this? Because it's not part of our daily job. It's yours. I mean, that's so great. It's so great. But how do you carve out the time?
Yeah.
Make an appointment? I mean, that's what I did.
Well, you know, it's different for everyone. If you have a serious overabundance of stuff, then you're going to have to carve out time, maybe even take a week off work, you know, and maybe hire someone to help and so that's not so overwhelming. But you want to get to the place where it is an easy, like, you don't even have to think about it. When you purchase new clothing, you automatically, you know, get rid of a few items and you have systems in place. But if you are starting from a place of too much stuff, then yes, it can be extremely overwhelming. And I encourage starting with the easy stuff. And by easy stuff, the stuff that really just needs to be thrown away or recycled, just creating any kind of space you can, will take out overwhelm it.
Mm-hmm. Bathroom drawers, that's a great place to start. How many samples of stuff do you get? And the dental floss that every time you go to the dentist, they give you the dental floss. And, you know, that's a good place to start because stuff expires.
Yes.
Bathroom. I did one thing, and this has been a process for me for years, but I come from a lineage of hoarders. Mm. So I have a very large focus on this, and I have a closet rule. So I have one color hanger in my closet. They're all those purple hangers with the felt, and I have a limited number of hangers in my closet. And whenever I have I bring in something else, I cannot put a new hanger in there. There always has to be the same amount of hangers.
That's a great idea.
So I replace it. And there's obviously something in there that I haven't worn, which is why this new thing has come in the house.
Yes.
Obviously, I found it and I must have needed it. But I have to let one thing go that I haven't. So I will never buy another hanger and I will always have the same amount in the closet. And this helps me, you know, externally get conscious about things. Remember, call us here. We're in the fun drive because we could talk forever. If you call us 818-985-KPFK, that's 818-985-5735, you can donate $175 to our wonderful radio station, which is really about donating to our station. And then in a wonderful parting gift for you is a fully sustainable digital package of how to do this yourself, a do-it-yourself feng shui pack that includes how to feng shui your house, but really declutter and make your house your vision board. And then to specifically go through areas of your house around attracting money, attracting a wonderful or keeping a wonderful relationship going. You can even bring it into your workplace. So there's all sorts of different aspects in this package. It's wonderful. Please call us 818-985-KPFK. I want to see 5 people give us a call right now and see the phone lines light up. This is a $175 donation to the station. And keep in mind, it is a donation for public radio. That's why we're really doing this, is to keep public radio and this wonderful station alive. I see the phones are ringing. So if decluttering is something that you're interested in and it's actually a necessity for you, I can't tell you how many times I have decluttered my desk and got a new job, or I've changed my furniture and something new opened up in my relationship. And you can teach your children to constantly do this too, is they can start to declutter themselves. It's going to last them the rest of their lives. So I love the do-it-yourself version of this, of clutter intervention. So question, and is it Tisha or Tisha?
Tisha.
Tisha, good. All right. So what do you do with the mail? This coupons, magazines, articles you want to read?
You throw out the junk first. Like anything that you don't have to think about that's easy, that's what you always want to do first. Mm-hmm. And then you have a system somewhere in your kitchen or wherever you put mail, a designated spot for the things that do need some deliberation or time with, okay? Mm-hmm. Like bills, you know, important stuff. And throwing away the junk, just get rid of the junk first, you know, mm-hmm. the coupon mailers or whatever, credit card application, you know, just throw it away immediately as soon as it comes in. And that's gonna reduce the mail by at least half right there.
Do you have any resources in your book of how to stop the mail flow for like the advertisements from coming in, the junk mail, or those resources of places to call that you can recycle, mm-hmm. like –
I do have a list of resources in the very back of the book for there's so many new, like you mentioned that your daughter uses, so many new clothing companies with that you can trade online. I have a list of donation services, mm-hmm. Stuff. And there's a great site called earth911.org, I think that's the name of it, where you can put in your zip code. So let's say you have a mattress or a pair of glasses or whatever that you need to recycle. You can put your zip code in and it'll show you where you can take it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Mattresses specifically.
Yes.
Side of the freeway is not where they go.
No.
So it's dangerous. They can catch on fire. So the idea of having a place for it to go, or maybe these places can even pick it up for free. There's a lot of different places out there. Consignment centers, donation centers, veterans, Goodwill. There's a lot of great places that will come and pick up stuff. And you can, you know, even cars, as we know here, KPFK, you can donate your car and we even help you pick it up. So it's another way of our supporting our station here. Again, the number is 818-985-KPFK. Let's talk about the garage.
Okay.
So when you go into, that's the place where you stick the stuff, you put it in the garage so it's out of sight, out of mind. Would you start in the garage or would you start in the house?
I would start in the easy areas. Leave the hard stuff for the end, because by then, I say that because by then you're going to feel so much better. You're going to have energy to deal with the difficult areas. So put it off the garage, the basement, you know, the offsite storage unit and that's really where the juicy stuff is.
When you say energy, that's so interesting. When you start to clear things, does it physically start to move energy?
Absolutely. You are actually doing energy work on your body. Everything in your house is somewhere in your body, mentally or emotionally.
Wow.
So you will notice your breath changing. I've had something, in fact, in the book, in the very back, I tell people to be very mindful of self-care if you're going through major purge, because it can shift things in your body. Some people might get sick, and it's because it's detoxing. You're going through your own detox physically as your home is. So, you know, if you're doing major, major stuff, you know, go at a pace that feels comfortable for you. Sometimes kids can have a reaction to a major purge because they're so sensitive. So I take a very compassionate approach, and yet also when I give you a little kick in the booty to get things going. But yeah, they are physical effects.
The stuffed animals tend to be quite the collector's item. And kids, people give them to kids all the time, these plush toys.
Mm-hmm.
And it has certain meanings when they're young to hold on to or to feel comfort and so forth. And how do you recommend dealing with that?
Yeah, kids get as much attached, if not more, than adults. And actually, that was at the beginning of my book. I explain where our attachment to stuff comes from. And it's actually, it starts when we're age two, when we start to individuate. When we go from realizing I'm separate from you, or I'm separate from this toy, that's when possession, the idea of possessing something, first began. And so, you know, when the 2-year-old goes through this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, we never really grow out of that. And so instead of a toy truck, it's an iPhone. This is my phone, or this is my shirt. We identify with this item as ours in a, such an identification way. That's when we let it go or feel like we have to let it go. It's like cutting off our left arm. It's so much a part of who we think we are.
Yeah.
And so this is the power in letting go of things that represent an identity of yours from the past that's not really relevant anymore to your current life. You are taking back your energy, your power from 2002 into 2018, and that's where this is where the magic happens. Like, if I can release, you know, old law business suits from the early 2000s, then I have brought my energy into today, into my current career, and it will there's a payoff.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, if you cannot release those suits, though, is that maybe a sign that you are not happy with where you are?
There's a gap. You know, when we go through transitions, there's always a gap of the past and the future. And being aware and mindful of where in that transition process you are, you know, any kind of transition, whether it's job or relationship, it's scary being in that gap. And what that gap really is a loss of identification. And I went through this big time when I went from attorney into the healing arts. Mm-hmm. And there was a gap where it was an overlap gap. I was an attorney for half the day and I was a yoga instructor and, you know, feng shui consultant for the next half. And so I had
That's funny.
Yeah. But, you know, I wasn't fully confident in stepping into the healing arts, and that's okay. You know, there was legitimacy of, like, building a business. But once I felt like I was planted in the healing arts, it was time to let go of the suits that I had not worn in a few years. And when I did, I had more calls that week than I had had in months.
Huh. Wow, you really made a decision.
That's right, decision.
To cement yourself in the new career.
That's right. And so when you declutter, you're making decisions. I like that you pointed out. You're making decisions. And anytime you make a decision, it's a stake in the ground to the universe of this is what I want. This is what's important. It's very powerful.
What about those old magazines and so forth, those articles that you really want to get to? It's interesting because when we cleared my dad's office, I took some of them. Like, they're probably from 2014 on neuroscience and things like that are interesting to me. He probably wanted to read one day. Now I want to read one day, and now they're in my house. I took three, but they're fascinating. And I know you can read it all online now.
There's an archetype in my book for you. It's called The Resourceful, and it's people who love information.
Yes.
And you and your dad was probably – my dad was one of those as well.
Yes.
So it's hard to let go of information, and it's part of your
identity.
It's part of your identity. It's also what you value and what you people value in you. And so, like, to let go of a resource is like, but you know what you have. What the resourceful people need to keep in mind is when you have too much information, it actually clogs. Clogs the pipeline, you lose your resourcefulness.
Trying to recall one thing is so hard for me. I've got this so much stuff in my mind, and I have to look it up now. That's interesting. What about digital clearing? When you have crowded inboxes and you have to subscribe to every single email in order to get any discounts these days, how do you do that?
Purge? I call the digital – this is going to be our next clutter crisis is the digital world. And it's better than – I think it's better than the physical world because I call the physical the visual clutter, which does – you know, our mind does not like visual clutter. It does confuse us. Digital clutter, it's obviously not in our workspace, thank goodness, but it's in our mind. It's like in the fourth dimension in the mental plane. So it's still affecting us. It's still clogging the mental brain. Mm-hmm. It's just like the physical. It takes time to clear out the stuff.
It's interesting. I mean, I know that there's techniques around this, but if I go to my inbox and I look for an email from someone I'm looking for, I have to go through all of the airline emails and the hotel email, all the notices. But I've heard a way of doing that where you have a private account where you can actually just give the private account to people that only you correspond with, maybe the top 12 or 15 people you correspond with. And
sure.
That clears that
up. I recommend, you know, using the folder systems in your email box. And like I have a keep file, I have contact file, I have a read later file, you know, so that they're not all in your inbox. Just having your inbox, those items that are like on your – would be the same as like what's on your desk of like what you need to do today.
Okay.
And file away everything else.
Speaking of desk, you said that there was a power position for the desk in the office. Where is that facing?
So the power position – every room has a power position. It is facing the door so you can see the doorway coming in. This goes to our old amygdala fight or flight brain. And so we want to be able – it's the same when you go to a restaurant. No one likes to sit to their back to the door or to a window. It's and if
right.
you go to even a coffee shop anywhere right now, you'll notice everyone sitting. The first seats taken are actually the power position. So you're seeing the door, not directly across from the door because that's too much chi coming. So it's going to be too transitional of an energy. You preferably want to not have your back to a window either. But in your home, if your desk is facing the wall, you will not want to sit there. You will not sit there. Unless you were forced to sit there.
No, you won't.
Yes.
Yeah, you won't sit there. Usually, Bo, you face the window, so you have something to look at, but the door and the window are usually not in the same wall.
If you have a solid wall and you can see the door and window, that's ideal. Not every room is set up that way.
No.
But
if you can see the door and the window on two different walls from where your desk is.
That's ideal.
So you're back to the wall.
Yes, that's
basically
what you want.
Okay. All right. Once again, I'm going to remind you to give us a call. If you want to find out how to do this yourself, Tisha Morris has put together a wonderful pack for us. It is a do-it-yourself feng shui pack, and it is a $175 donation to the station. And it really will take you on these modules of how to do this yourself. There's a PDF, there's MP3 audios and video instruction, how to apply the Bagua map in your house so that you can find the power positions, a clutter-clearing flow chart so you can check off things. This is a great project to do for summer, spring, whenever you're doing this. Open the windows, get the energy out, have some aromatherapy happening around the house, and really just start to clear, which is a great season to do that. And the number again, 818-985-KPFK. In addition to this four module DIY set, this feng shui course, it's an e-course, by the way, so you do need to give your email to the volunteers in the phone room who are standing by right now taking your calls. But we also want to make sure that you have, there's great other bonuses that are included here. There's a webinar where you can watch lots of stuff on this. It's using your home as a manifesting tool. That's the name of the webinar. There's also feng shui for attracting and maintaining great relationships and feng shui for the workplace. So once you've got your home in order, you go to your office and do the same thing and watch your life change. It's an incredible value. I mean, this is wonderful. I'm sure that people have created a ton by doing this entire situation.
Yeah, I want to point out how clutter or decluttering and feng shui relate.
Okay. Just real quick, it's a limited premium. So, by the way, there are only a certain amount. There are about eight left. Okay, great. All right. So give us a call now. It is 20 minutes left in the show. So call us as soon as you can, 818-985-KPFK. What were you going to say?
So, yeah, I want to explain how decluttering and feng shui relate because the package that the offer is heavy in the feng shui department, but decluttering is the first step to feng shui. And I begin to see this with clients because I'd come to their house and they would be, what can I buy? What can I buy? What can I buy? I'm like, no. It's what can we remove? And so decluttering, you could have the perfect floor plan, the perfect furniture arrangement, but clutter will kill it every time.
Wow. Can you listen to this while it's an active listening thing, or do you want to listen to it first?
Yes. It's MP3, so you can listen. You mean the downloads?
Yeah, while you're clearing, you can listen.
Absolutely. Great idea.
Great.
Yes.
So it's active.
Yes, yes.
A fun project. So I agree that you've got this great space set up and then stuff starts happening on top of it. How do you get the family involved where they will put the magazines out or keep the mail out?
So if you've ever tried to get someone to do something, you know, it's very difficult. the best way I have seen is to be the change you want to see in your house. I'm borrowing a Gandhi quote, but I have seen this happen over and over and over, particularly with spouses. I've heard a lot of women complain about their husband of how do I get him on board? I'm like, don't force him. Just you do take care of your stuff, and it will be contagious. And it really is. It's really amazing.
When you start to clear a space and have a space that looks beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it rubs off on the other family members. And before you know it, everyone's involved without you even having to try.
Hmm. Have you ever helped people? I mean, as a rule, is it don't have things on the bookshelves or is it don't keep things in the drawers? I mean, where do you start?
Well, I don't put anything in the drawers.
Put nothing in the drawers and clear the bookshelves, just like a hotel. That's why we love them so much, hotel rooms.
No, you know, storage is great. Closets are great. You know, we don't want to see toilet paper rolls sitting out. We don't want to see towels sitting out. And so when it comes to storage and drawers and things like that, it's about being conscious of what you're putting in it, being conscious of what you're storing, being conscious of what's on the bookshelf. Are they books that you're still interested in, or are they just taking up space? You know, is it stuff in your drawer that's useful, that you're still using, or is it not? You know, you have to get real with yourself of like, is there any function? If it's broken and you haven't fixed it yet, you're not going to get rid of it. You know, you have to be a little bit disciplined when it comes to the stuff. But then once you get into a flow, you don't even have to think about it so much.
That's great. I mean, this sounds so terrific. And it's something that you can do. You know, there's a lot of excuses. Oh, I don't have the time, or I can't afford help for somebody to bring, you know, to come in and do this. We've taken the excuses out for you, and you get a chance to donate to the station. So there are only 5 of these left. Please give us a call right now, 818-985-KPFK, and support the station. It's a $175 donation to the station. You're supporting public radio. And then we're going to give you the access to get this wonderful do-it-yourself Feng Shui pack. It's a decluttering, do-it-yourself kit, essentially, because you have to declutter before you can get the energy correct. And so give us a call right now. There are only 5 left. It's a limited amount of these. So please call right now and donate to the station. And again, it's a 4-module online course, so you need to give the volunteers your phone number and your email, by the way. All right, so what about clothes that no longer fit that you're hoping to lose weight to fit into?
Well, it's better than keeping the fat clothes in case you gain the weight back.
That's true. That's a good point.
So, you know, if it's a realistic goal if it's a goal that you want to lose weight, then I say keep it. This is part of manifesting, using items to manifest. But if it's you're keeping items for a bad situation, i.e. gaining weight or whatever, you know, then you're setting yourself up to manifest negatively. Mm-hmm. So set yourself up to win. If it's, you know, just 5 or 10 pounds and you have a whole new old wardrobe back when you do that, then absolutely, I think you should.
So do you recommend hanging those clothes, like your skinny jeans, out or something for the visualization? Or, I mean, what do you recommend?
Well, my practical side says, you know, have the items that you use in a very accessible way. For the manifesting jeans,
then maybe frame them. No, put them above your mirror. Wow, there's so many things that we can talk about here. Unhealed wounds and unresolved grief. And these are things that we keep in our house, right? When we have a loss.
Yep. Yes, these are things from the past that we haven't really dealt with. And sometimes if it's items from departed loved ones, spouse or parents or whatever the situation is, we can use these belongings as part of the grief process, as a cathartic part. And usually how much stuff you have from that person is a mirror of where you are in the grief process. And using those items as a conduit for feeling and grieving and you know, what you hang on to will change over time. After the grief isn't so fresh, you might release some more of those items.
Do you ever recommend setting up an altar for something like that?
Absolutely, yeah.
To honor it?
Yes, yes. You know, I'm going back to that, you know, that 10% idea. You know, when it comes to items from loved ones, mm-hmm. I am more inclined to keep just a few items that are really, really, really special mm-hmm. and really honoring them, like, you know, framing them or putting them on an altar as opposed to a large quantity of random stuff that's not that special.
What about kids' artwork?
Kids'
that
artwork.
Preschool stuff, you know.
Yes. So for parents with, you know, with kids' memorabilia, mm-hmm. I recommend designating how much of a space you want to take up for that, whether it's a shoebox or roommate box, a whole closet, a whole room. You know, you determine how much stuff, how much of a space you want. And you, from there, you keep up with it. For example, with your clothes, you know how you like, let's say you have 15 hangers. Well, mm-hmm. you keep that. Well, it's the same with memorabilia. I want to keep X amount of, you know, for memorabilia, and that's it. And so once you have more than a Rubbermaid box or whatever your designated space is, then that's when, okay, I'll keep this artwork and not that one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mm-hmm. – and we all have a different amount of – we all have – some people are kind of the historian archetype. They really love keeping things from the past. Other people are more minimalist. It's not as important. We all are different in that way, and we should honor that, and that's okay. We're not all meant to be minimalist, nor should we.
Mm-hmm.
We are here enjoying this physical world. And so, you know, I'm not about being a minimalist. I'm about enjoying the best things that you have.
Hmm. You're not about having just clear space.
Right. Yes. It's, you know, that's about, you know, there's, you can metaphor, use your calendar as a metaphor. There's the calendars that are too stuffed, too overwhelmed, too much. And that's, houses are like that. Or there's a calendar where you have like nothing going on to where it's like, you know, your life is stagnant. You want somewhere in between that. And our house is like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want just void of personality. You want to enjoy the house functionally and aesthetically,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want it to be packed where you can't enjoy it.
Have you ever found that people that travel that bring, you know, five or four suitcases and don't wear half the stuff that they bring are usually the ones that have the biggest clutter problems?
I think there's probably a relationship. Yeah.
Yes. So you always have more than you need.
Yes, yes. That's a good point.
It's funny that there's a whole concept around that. So the clutter clearing is different than feng shui, essentially, right?
So clutter or decluttering is the first step to feng shui. Mm-hmm. You have to remove things before you should ever add anything. It's particularly in a Western society in the United States, particularly when we have so much consumer items, I almost always find that removing things is the first step that's necessary for people.
Because from my limited knowledge of feng shui, it deals with elements, the water,
yes.
wood, metal.
That's part of it, absolutely.
But then you're adding more stuff in.
That's right, yeah. And so, you know, you want to clear out what's not working. That's just a block. That's just blocking energy.
Okay.
And even if it's just a scrap of paper, like, you know, it's not even have to be big things. It could be big thing. It could be furniture. But it could be just, you know, something really small, but it's the energetic weight that it's taking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this piece of paper could be from an ex, and that could be what's, you know, keeping you stuck in the past. And so even though it physically doesn't take up a lot of space, energetically, it's a major block. So, you know, everything, it's size is not necessarily a determiner.
What about holiday stuff that hangs on, you know, like the Christmas mugs and the pumpkins and things that cross over from season to season? I still think I have a pumpkin. It's almost June. One of the little ones, though. I do. I still have a pumpkin.
Oh, well, are you enjoying the pumpkin?
It's right there in my fruit bowl. No, I don't need the pumpkin.
All right, let's go out the pumpkin.
We're going
to. It's a good summer.
It's like a little 2-3-inch thing. It's a good point.
Get some lemons or oranges.
Gina still has it. Well, it is, you know, I must say it is my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love Halloween mm-hmm. because it represents the changing of the seasons, well, where I used to in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And it represents a, you know, headed towards a holiday season. It's so different out here now, but it was fond memories.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe it's your way of still having, since the change of seasons aren't here, you're hanging
on to it. I've always done that. I've always had a pumpkin till June. That's interesting.
Well, if you enjoyed, I say go with it.
I just noticed that. All right. This is, see all the awareness you can get from something like this. All right. So please give us a call. We have just a few minutes left in the show. Time flies when I speak with you. This is an issue clear and near to my heart. Please give us a call, 818-985-5735, and take your own initiative into decluttering and correcting the balance in your home. Literally, my grandmother, the fire department had to come in order to get her out of her house. It was that bad. Mm. And she had so much stuff that, you know, I mean, banana peels and stuff. You really couldn't even walk in there anymore. And it was a health hazard for herself and her neighbors. And there's shows on TV about, quote, hoarders. It's a disease. It's something that's real. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we also have all these unconscious marketing, you know, patterns that come to us in the as seen on TV sections. You know, it's, I think, a replacement for loneliness. In her case, it was. Rest her soul. So I've learned and I've seen the worst of it, and I definitely have an aversion to, like, I don't want to be this way. But when you resist, persist. So I've always had a passion for decluttering and what it does for life.
Yeah.
I'm
so
a huge fan.
Yeah. I think, you know, just really deciding on the things you love, and this goes for everyone, the things that you love in your home, and really make those the highlight, and then everything. Anyway, going back to your 10% idea, I love that idea.
Yeah.
Like, we really just need 10% of what we have.
That's all we really need, yeah. And I know you have a great story about your mom, too. So you have to get the book. It's a really great companion. Mine's, you know, all filled with stains and stuff because I bring it everywhere. Clutter Intervention, How Your Stuff is Keeping You Stuck is the name of the book. Tisha Morris is my guest. And please call us now, 818-985-KPFK, and you can get for a $175 donation to the station, a digital package of do-it-yourself Feng Shuiing Your Life course, which is really decluttering and then correcting the energetic balance. You can look up Tisha's website, which is tishamorris.com, TishaMorris.com, and you can learn all about her online courses and Feng Shui for the all workplace, everything. Is all on there. There are a limited here amount of these to get. So if you call us, there's four left, 818-985-KPFK. There's four left. Give us a call right now. The show is nearing an end, so I really want you to be able to get this. Donate to the station, which helps both things. It helps keep the station thriving and alive. It helps you thrive and stay happy and healthy in your own environment, home, work, apartment, wherever it is. And this is something that I always say, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because you can continually do this in your life. Once you've got your house figured out, then you find your parents or your children or your grown adult children, whatever it is, and it can continue to help you in your life. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A lot of strength for what you do. I really appreciate it. Mm. And you also have classes that you teach too, right?
Yes, yes.
Group courses.
I'll be in Costa Mesa tomorrow night at an event, and another one in July in North Hollywood. So check my website for upcoming events. But yeah, tons of online options and courses that you can do as well. So yes.
Thank you for donating these to the station. We really appreciate it. And thank you for participating in keeping public radio alive. All right. I want to keep the phone lines ringing, 818-985-KPFK. So I have a challenge out for, there's four people out there who this makes sense to, that they just discovered they have clutter in their drawers as they're going through it in their mind. There's clutter in there's silverware that doesn't match. There's things that those plastic things that come with the to-go. How many of those do you have? Those packages with the forks and the spoons and the salt and pepper. You won't need them. It's time to recycle that stuff. 818-985-KPFK. There's energy that gets cleared and starts to move when you get this stuff out of your life. It keeps you stuck energetically. It's been proven. So take charge of your own life and get this. 818-985-KPFK. Four people, give us a call. I want to see four of our volunteers on the phone line right now. 818-985-KPFK. It is the best $175 donation you've ever made because you're supporting public radio and you're supporting yourself. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this conversation and for listening. Your energy makes these shows happen. I'm Lisa Garr, and you've been listening to The Aware Show. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.